Yes, we're back. And when I say we, I do not mean Tawny. If anyone is missing Tawny, that's on me. I've driven her away. No, this is Yo's This Racist, the podcast where we talk about racism voicemails. My name is Andrew T. Regular co-host Tawny Newsome is, I'm going to say probably, she's doing something for work, and I don't know what process she is of that. So she's working. She'll be back, right, producer Kevin?
Yeah, I think she posted on Instagram today that she's driving to Vancouver, so she's en route.
Mm. I know, yeah, I know. I
big no from Carl.
God damn, that's a long drive.
Long drive.
Yeah, this is. I mean, look, no better time to drive. I guess there kind of is the best time to just fuck it and drive. Than end of a pandemic, hopefully. Anyway, Carl Tart. No, what the fuck was I supposed to say?
Carl the CT.
Carl the CT and Asan the DJ, Asan Williams of Carl Calls His Cousin podcast, or just Carl Calls His Cousin? How do we do this?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Uh-oh. Am I lost or is he lost?
He's lost.
I think he's lost.
Okay.
He froze for a sec. You're back.
I apologize for that. I don't know when it stopped, but literally my whole computer just froze. Jesus.
You got to heal it back.
New. This thing is new. This Sony is Bio. Not hot. Oh, shit. Damn. Is this what it's like? This what it's like just getting roasted by you fellas?
This boy went to Walmart and bought one of the laptops.
He bought the leases.
He got a laptop. LABTOP.
I do have the Johnson & Johnson of computers.
The computer's only has 66% efficacy.
Barely holding it together. Wow, people really talk shit about the vaccine. I like how that's the new strata of how we divide ourselves. Which vaccine brand name do you have?
Here's some crazy shit. So I'll leave names out of this, but I was talking to a homegirl today because she posted a tweet that I quite agreed with. I'll get into it. You know what?
Let's just get into it.
But this is a tweet that I saw that I was sent earlier, and then another one of my friends texted it to me because they know that I'm like a big that I've been talking about this for a while. And here's the tweet. It says, "There is a small but loud and absolutely real subset of people who don't want the pandemic to end because they like being the best at following the rules. They trust the science up until the science suggests things might ever get better again." And then the third one's like, "Can't imagine why this would make anyone defensive." That's how I read it. I can't imagine why this would make anyone defensive. She put two fingers on her cheek and two fingers hanging out. And I agree with that shit, man. I agree with that shit. I've been seeing it for a long time. Yeah. You know, I saw it. When it really sent me over the edge was Thanksgiving time. Now, I understand that was not a time to be gathering with like 20 people, but people online were just like, if I see you with people near you on this holiday, I'm going to publicly shame you and all of that shit. And I'm like, how do you know those people didn't like hunker down for 14 days and get tested frequently during that time and do that safely? You don't know people's lives.
I will say I agree with you on that. However, I do have my, we'll call him my most right-wing cousin, did actually catch COVID at Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, as we saw, a lot of people caught COVID during. But here's the thing, Andrew. These people who were saying this to us on their Instagrams, chances are they're not changing nobody's minds because we are already being safe. And your most extreme right-wing cousin don't give a shit what you're talking about, Andrew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is the thing. It's like, I was like, my man definitely caught COVID at Thanksgiving, but I think that's just kind of luck of the draw, because he probably could have caught COVID at any number of social events that he didn't stop doing last year.
I don't think it's that people necessarily, I don't think there's anybody who wants the pandemic to keep going. However, I think it's what we're seeing is a result of like the hyper politicization of the different therapeutic or the different whatever preventative measures at the beginning. So like now people are afraid to go back to any sort of sense of normalcy because they went so hard one way or another at the beginning of COVID. So the people who are like hardcore, who are like very, very, very careful in the beginning now are like, see any kind of opening back up or going back to regular as like part of the opposition. And so they're like, even if they're vaccinated and they're outside 100 feet away from someone, they still feel compelled to wear their mask because they're like, well, I went so hard at the beginning of mask shaming people. Well, and now they're like,
Well, so I that for sure was some version of me. I'm trying to think. So I think I will say what's in my head is
what's in your wallet.
I went through. You know what? For the first time in a long time, it's some cash. I had not handled physical cash in like, I don't know, fucking 9 months or something. A lot of just cards and whatnot. But what I will say is I had to modulate because I think at the beginning I was like, I will be accepting zero COVID risk, you know, and it's that type of shit where you like aren't. You're like, okay, but you understand every time you step out the door, there's like a 0.0001 chance you're just going to get hit by a car or a fucking meteorite will fall on your head or whatever. And that's sort of like where I'm at. And I do have a couple friends who are like that, who now that I like have changed my risk assessment, now I roll my eyes at them. I'm like, come on, you're really... still staying inside for this, or like, you know, triple bagging it for like a grocery pickup kind of stuff. But I'm like, so I think maybe that's what it is. Is there are still people who are like at zero risk tolerance, like literally zero, and thus even a vaccine is sort of not good enough for them.
Yeah,
that right there is the
thing though. If you're doing that in private, listen, my most anxiety ridden friend.
Mm-hmm.
Got the vaccine.
Okay, everyone, let's say who it is on the count of three.
I'm not gonna say his name. But my friend who was the most scared person I knew this whole time, but also, and he didn't have to do this, but he did give an explanation that it was just like, he was like, I know a lot of this is illogical. I listen to what Dr. Fauci is saying. I know I don't have to spray down my groceries and keep them outside for 30 minutes. I know I don't have to do that, but I am so afraid and my anxiety is through the roof. I know that this is illogical, but this is what I have to do. As soon as he got the vaccine, he was ready to go. Like that quick, that quick. And I'm like, if he can do it, a lot of people can do it. But you know what he never did? He never got online and he never shamed people. Because I, for one, am a very social person. And so a year like this was very, very hard for me to be in-house. Mm-hmm. And like, same. And other people are like, oh, it's hard for all of us. No, it's harder for some than it is for others. Just like it's easier for you to sit online and shame people when you see them doing anything, even if it's safe.
Please go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, like, it was really hard for me. So I took advantage of every single safe opportunity I had to go see people.
Yeah.
I'm going to rat out Kevin right now. Me and Kevin hit the driving range a couple times. But it was safe. Golf was safe.
Golf did feel very safe. We were all very far apart.
We were very far apart. Now, that golf party we went to after, I don't know.
Especially with how shitty you guys are at golfing, right, guys?
Oh, no, we were terrible at golf. But
I was facing the wrong
chasing
way.
Chasing the balls all around the court.
Kevin kept hitting the balls into the parking lot. But
I would love to drive that like armored golf cart that goes around and picks shit up. We were aiming for him.
Yeah, we were aiming for him.
We
were aiming for him.
That's like the bulletproof code on like any number of video games. Like, fucking come at me.
Yeah.
What did they do before those like cars were invented?
They had to run out there and be like, ooh, shit. Chill out, man. Chill out.
Bring me your deftest child. Let's go.
Bring me your blackest person.
golf course owners would go in and recruit football players.
Yeah, yeah.
That running back's talented.
Say, boy, I got a job for you. I got a job for you down at the country club. See? You've been strong, striking young man.
Oh man, the combine, but somehow more racist.
Yeah.
Do y'all think the mask, the mask thing, is ever going to go away? Do you think like the government's ever going to say, "All right, it's safe. You don't need to wear a mask ever again"? Like, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that'll happen for us in a couple months. Do I think people are going to do it?
Soon.
No, but I think Gavin Newsom will lift. I think Gavin Newsom will lift the actual mask mandate, the law required mask mandate. I think that will be lifted in the next 2 to 3 months.
It's going to be one of those things that it's going to be lifted like a little too early, but not too early, and it'll be fine.
You know, I think it'll be fine. I think because what is too early? Because if science tells us, and this is again, this is why trust the science people. They move in the goalposts. We trust the science. So if science is telling us, Los Angeles itself, we live in Los Angeles. We're a bunch of liberal cucks, West Coast liberal cucks. We watch our wives have sex with black men. We are reaching herd immunity in June. That's what science says. We're probably already very close to it. Because in LA, a certain point, 1 in 3 people had either had COVID or had been vaccinated. And now it's like 1 in 2 has either had it or been vaccinated. So we have reached that 70%. Or we're at like 60-something percent right now.
It's imminent.
Yeah.
It's on route.
So, like, if science is telling us that, then Gavin Newsom will say we can safely go back to 100%, like 100% capacity.
Do whatever.
And go back to life.
But don't be crazy.
Still continue to wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Still continue to socially distance if you can. Like, and if you feel so comfortable, because hey, I guarantee I got you. Like, here's some news for everybody. COVID-19 ain't going nowhere. It's got an agent, a manager, and a publicist. It's riding this wave of fame. It's here to stay. It lives in LA.
You know
now.
What? The real secret is COVID-19 has a good lawyer. You know, everyone concentrates on the other shit, but the lawyer is the one who gets shit.
COVID-19 is uncancelable. COVID-19 is uncancelable. Yeah, it's gonna cancel a couple dates, but it's still coming out with a special. So,
I think, you know, the other side of that, like, follow the science idea is that, like, it's like follow the science, but we all had different risk tolerances. Because I guess what I mean is, like, Gavin Newsom has in his mind a number of acceptable COVID deaths. And the fact of the matter is there does have to be some acceptable number for society to, like, function.
Mm-hmm.
But that number is debatable, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's what those people will lean on and can lean on. And it's like, what are you going to do? Because it's like, okay, if your stance is there must be zero COVID deaths for me to take my mask off, then you're never taking your mask off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. And that is some people's line, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. My biggest risk factor, I'm in pretty good health, pretty healthy person. I'm young. I'm virile. I have an overabundance of testosterone that's caused me to lose my hair.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
And that's fine. I'll take because it makes me the most masculine.
Too much of a man.
It makes me toxically masculine. The amount of testosterone in my body is toxic.
I've always said that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
chemically masculine, Carl.
Chemically masculine. I can't stop this. Mm-hmm. Y'all can talk about toxic masculinity. This is who I am. I'm losing my hair. But I'm not afraid of it, you know, I guess. But I'm also not online being like, I mean, I guess I am technically online right now being like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But
well,
I ain't posting opposite numbers in my.
I don't just get online and talk about the things that I think about.
Yeah. I don't just get online and record shit with my friends and sit on my high horse, on my liberal West Coast cuck high horse, and talk about shit. That's not how I get out. That's not my DNA.
Okay, let's real quick pivot to one quick thing, just because we should talk about some kind of quote unquote news before we go to voicemails. And this is real loosey goosey, but basically, racist ass Governor Kemp in Georgia along with the Georgia Republicans, signed into, you know, law a bunch of voter suppression shit. You know, you can't bring water to people waiting in line at the polls, even though, you know, they purposely make it so that in all only pretty much only black polling stations, black neighborhoods, like the lines are like 12 hours long. And then in white neighborhoods, it's like 0 minutes long to vote. So, like, you know, it's very intentional, but now you can't bring water. And so I think it was baseball and Major League Baseball pulled some event there. I don't know if it was the All-Star game or some shit like that.
Yeah, All-Star
game.
And
Coca-Cola came out against it. So basically now Republicans are mad at Major League Baseball. Sorry, true patriots. All true patriots who love America are currently against Coca-Cola and Major League Baseball. So that's where we're at on the state of the world. I don't know. I mean, this is like sort of news in the way that all right-wing bluster is news.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't mean it. Trump apparently was calling for a boycott of Coca-Cola and then was photographed today with like a bottle of Coke, but like he knew it was not a good look. So it's like hidden behind his like phone a little bit.
That's funny.
Like that, like the landline desk phone, but you know, he's at, I assume, Mar-a-Lago or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Where the time, I mean, like,
it's a photo. They had the opportunity to completely remove the bottle. Like,
it's
not
2020.
Just put it behind the phone.
It's 2020. Oh no, it's 2021. It's 2021. Y'all could have photoshopped that Coke out. So yeah, wait, I didn't know. By the way, we forgot to say at the beginning, this episode of Yo, Is This Racist? Is brought to you by Coke Zero Sugar.
Coke Zero, the best of the non-sugar colas.
Oh yeah,
I will submit.
I 100%.
Oh wait,
you know, Pepsi Max hit a little bit.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh yeah, DDP. DDP hits.
That was so good.
Pepsi Max. Yep. DDP hits. Pepsi Max hits.
Does Sprite Zero count?
Sprite Zero, I taste it. I taste it in Sprite Zero.
I feel like, it's a little chemically to me.
I taste it in Sprite Zero.
Oh, man. I love Sprite Zero.
I ain't tried this Mountain Dew Zero Sugar yet.
Oh.
That's new.
Have you actually gone the other route and tried, you know how from time to time
Mountain
they
Dew
do
Extra
like,
Sugar?
Yeah.
well, they do Mountain Dew with sugar instead of corn syrup.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I tried that.
And it is actually very good.
Oh, Mountain Dew is... Listen, there's a reason why Mountain Dew is probably the best soda on the market and the worst for you is because it's so damn delicious.
And they don't try to front like there's any real flavors in it.
Yeah.
It's Mountain Dew.
What is this?
Kevin, please edit out me saying it's the worst soda for you because I need a tracksuit from Mountain Dew.
Yeah. So make sure.
Yeah, I'm collecting tracksuits from places now. I can't be bought. No, you don't have to do that. But
you can be bought.
what kind of Mountain Dew tracksuit are we looking at in your head?
Okay, first of all, that hoe is green with black stripes. I'm looking like a lime green tiger.
Like stripes throughout.
Yeah,
like tiger print.
Oh, or you know, or, like, you know, extreme print. Yaga.
That Baja Blast teal is lit though. That might be tight. Yeah, that might be hard.
With notes of red. Yeah, no, that might hit. That might hit with some forces, with some teal forces, some Baja Blast forces. Come on, dog, I'm out here. I'm back to the streets.
I'm seeing now a whole outfit that is like just go in this neon clash thing. So like Mountain Dew colors jacket, Baja Blast shirt, and Baja Blast shoes underneath. You know what I'm saying?
That
just
don't
like
match.
Crazy town. I know, crazy town. I should tell the listeners that I'm wearing a shirt that is pink and yellow tie-dye, and I look like a lunatic, and I actually kind of forgot I was going to be on camera.
But you don't, like, though.
Today.
See,
I do a little bit.
Andrew, it's racist to not match.
I'm saying this, you can pull it off. I'm just saying I like Crazy Town. Yeah. I just always dress like I'm a lunatic, I guess. I wore this shirt and like some Adidas with like purple and blue on it today, just out like a fucking crazy person.
That's wild.
I guess I'm just a crazy person. I feel like I got that like shaggy Asian guy look though, so maybe I can look less put together. Wow. Of all the shit that should have gotten me canceled by the Asian community in the last 3 weeks, I hope this is the one that puts the nail in that coffin. I really deserve it. I deserve it more than anything. Anyway, Republicans are mad at Coke and baseball.
Yeah.
Is there anything? Do we care?
No, we don't care. I'm very grateful that baseball did that, and that that is not common of baseball to do, is to do stuff like that. So the fact that baseball is becoming less racist than football is wild.
It's crazy. Right. Between baseball and then NASCAR, you know, NASCAR got invited to the cookout last year.
They could pull up. They could pull up and get a plate.
Get their tires changed and keep going.
they could get a plate if they could get the plate and eat it in like the 4 seconds it takes to complete, like drop in the new transmission or whatever the fuck it is they do at the pit, because that is quick and upsetting. Meanwhile, I haven't gotten my tires rotated in, we'll just say, too many miles for my lease car. And you know what? Fuck you, Hyundai of the South Bay. You're getting a car with real fucked up.
Come out of house. Come out of house. I'll do it for you.
Jiffy Lube don't take 4 seconds either.
I mean, I could do it. I just have elected not to do it.
Andrew, come by the house. I'll rotate the damn tires for you, Andrew.
I'll do it. I'll have it done.
All right.
I got to do other shit.
Before I take the cigarette out of my mouth, I'm offering you one more time. Come by the house and I'll do it.
Carl, you know what? I would love to hang out and
smoke
maybe
cigarettes?
Not rotate tires, but smoke cigarettes and rotate tires.
Andrew, I'm on your side though. I like to pay other people to do stuff that I could probably do on my own because I trust them to do it better than myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I changed the tire on my old car and I clearly did not tighten the spare enough because I almost lost the wheel while driving.
Oh, no.
Which is like, I thought it was on there pretty good, but I must have done something wrong because that's a harrowing feeling. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but
I went to Toyota this week and was like, hey, my check engine light's on. And they looked over like, no, it's not. I was like, what's this light? And they're like, it's for your tires. And I was like, I know.
I was just testing y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Nice.
You pass. That's funny.
We're doing good. Guys, what a breezy episode. I selected the voicemails like about 2 hours ago and I genuinely do not remember what they are.
Let's go.
So you know what? Let's take a break and then come back and we'll all be surprised by the voicemails this week.
Sweet.
We're back. Wait, shit. Tell us about your podcast. How about that? That's a thing that normal people do.
The podcast is called Carl Calls His Cousin. I call Asan and we just talk to each other. It ain't no gimmicks. No phonies, no fakes.
Feels like one gimmick.
That's the only gimmick is that they are listening in on private conversations. So they could be good. They could be good, juicy conversations. They could be bad conversations. They could be boring. They could be fun. Listen, you getting a real conversation in between me, America's favorite, and his family member. And so just tune in to that and don't expect anything. Just enjoy. And maybe one day we ask for your number and we'll call you on three-way and we can chat about some shit. And it's very minimally edited. Sometimes I'll say some shit and I'll be like, take that out. I can't get canceled today. I got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
But
you got,
go ahead.
You got bills to pay.
I got bills to pay.
I just had a question about who's your favorite cousin.
My favorite cousin? My favorite cousin is my cousin Cindy. She lives in Jacksonville.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
I'm sitting right here.
Man. One thing about her, she doesn't disrespect me like he does. You'll listen to that. You'll get a good dose of Asan disrespecting me on the podcast.
Is she a Clippers fan?
She don't watch basketball.
Oh, okay.
Even better. Asan, who's your favorite cousin?
Used to be Carl.
Used to be Carl.
Obviously not Carl.
It was never Carl.
I couldn't.
If you treat your favorite like me, damn, I hate to see what you do your least favorite like.
I don't know. I think I'm just going to start auditioning new cousins. Because I
don't
know.
That's, yeah, America's Next Top New Cousin.
Yeah.
This is, we got to, Carl, you're replaceable is the thing. Ooh, you don't know.
I'm replaceable on Carl Carl's his cousin?
Ooh, yeah.
Don't you ever for a second get to thinking that I'm irreplaceable.
If people want to hear Carl Tart on a podcast, they have a lot of choices.
That's true.
There's
only one that they can hear you talk to your family member that they've never heard of.
We finna change the name of this podcast to Yo, Is This Carl? And I'd be like, yeah. I'm just gonna come on and say, yeah, it's me.
This is Carl.
And people will be able to call in and be like, yo, is this Carl? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's me. What's up?
All right. See you next week. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Call in. Let us know if this is Carl.
Yeah.
Or if you think it could be Carl. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes
Carl.
It's not me. It's Alan Rickman. He died. Hey, I do impressions. Is this?
It's not a bad idea. It's not worse than most podcasts. So,
yo, is this Carl? No, it's Bon Jovi, brother. And we gotta hold on to what we've got. And that's the end of the episode.
Oh,
short show.
Yeah. listeners did not get to see Carl's Bon Jovi shimmy just now.
Oh, no. but the episodes range in time as well, because sometimes we have hour long conversations. Sometimes I only want to talk to him for about 20 minutes, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a week.
Yeah, twice a week, Mondays and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now. Is it voicemail time? I don't know. Let's do it. What to do next? Let's do a voicemail. Yep. We've it's almost time to start the show. Let's get cracking.
Okay. Hi. So my name's Morgan. I'm white. So I'm living with this old lady, and the neighborhood she lives in is in Texas. Probably should clarify. And it's very common for people to have blue lights. Like, for the front porch light or just decorating their house to back the blue. So I was just curious what the best way to handle their outright racism would be. Like, should I just go on, like, a smashing of the light spree or what? That's illegal. But you know what I mean, something like that. Yeah, thoughts, comments, questions? Well, not questions. You know what I mean. All right. Okay, anyways, I'm awkward. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a little salt and pepper. If you see a light of blue in a yard or two, it's none of your business. Leave them fucking people alone.
I did, listening to this a second time, this now feels like this voicemail was left as like a little bit of entrapment for us, hoping that one of us would be like, what you need to do is go and commit several crimes and that's how we get caught up for like a conspiracy. I don't understand how inciting
a riot. Let me tell you what I do when I see Blue Lives Matter stickers or Blue Lives Matter regalia or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I keep on driving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do nothing. And I'll look in the car and see what the person looks like, and I'll be like, you back the blue? Sometimes I'll be like, you back the blue? I'm not about to get, because that's what they want. They want to bait you into some shit.
Right.
Have you ever seen a black person with a back the blue flag?
Not that wasn't driving a police car.
I was going to say the most pro cop black person I know was from my jiu-jitsu school, who was a cop. And then a different dude, he was a Vietnamese dude, wore It was more extreme than fuck the police kind of shirt. It was to the effect of like, let's kill all cops kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it weirdly went fine. I don't know what it was, but I was like,
of course it's gonna go weird. Because that cop who's doing jiu-jitsu also has a gun. So he's like, all right, man, kill me then. I dare you. Try me.
he was very nice because he was also the newest to the school. So he was like, obviously like, relatively strong, but very like kind of clumsy and whatnot.
Is there a lot of like discourse between the students at like jiu-jitsu school? Like, do you guys chop it up, or is it like kind of you stay more quiet and kind of focused?
There's far too much discourse. Every fucking asshole at jiu-jitsu school thinks they're Joe Rogan and thinks they're like some goddamn like warrior poet kind of intellectual, and they're all, not all, but they're mostly just kind of dumb right-wing bozos, or occasionally a very, very anti-police left-wing not bozo.
Russell Brand.
But very aggressive. Very aggressive. No, it was just one of those things where I was like, I think partially because jiu-jitsu is of like the martial arts, like the thinking martial art. So everyone feels the need to expound a little bit. I don't know what it is. I'm like constantly bummed out by that. I also had to leave because I hurt my knee and I haven't been back since. But I was going to go back right when COVID started, but yeah, I didn't. Also, I had the then jiu-jitsu coach I was going to then opened a new gym, and then I kind of had to unfollow him the other day. This is going back to what we talked about before the break, because he posted a bunch of shit that was like, you know, we never closed during pandemic, and like, you know, the sort of like do your own research type stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I can support that either. Yeah, vandalizing their, especially because it sounded like the caller, this is where they live.
Yeah.
And that's not going to profit anybody.
That's not gonna help anybody. You asked Asan if I see black people with Blue Lives Matter stickers. I never do. Mm-hmm. The people that I see usually are Armenians and Latino people who, mm-hmm. and that's why sometimes I'd be like, the blue don't love you, homeboy, mm-hmm. but go ahead, black them. I mean, I'll back them. Black the blue. I don't know. What that, yeah, go ahead and back them. I think in LA it's a little bit different because majority of LAPD, which is such a huge organization, majority of them here now are Latino. So that's probably somebody who's mm-hmm. like got a son who's a cop. And they don't really understand the ramifications of what that means. All they see is propaganda saying black people are trying to kill your son. So you got to support cops.
The crazy thing about the Blue Lives Matter flag, though, too, is like it's not like a Confederate flag, like, or like a flag that's based on like, oh, this is what I believe in. It's a like a protest flag. It's like a, I hear your complaints against the police, but I'm like, in order to like counter that, I'm flying this flag. Like it's purely a reactionary flag. Like it's not like a, you know what I mean? It's not like flying the Marine Corps flag or like, you know what I mean? It's like, you guys are all mad at police and don't get mad at police, so I'm gonna fly this flag. Like it's wild.
Part of it, I guess, is that their whole premise is based on lies. Like, in what way are the police under attack? Are they vulnerable? And if you think asking them to be less racist is a personal attack, it really says quite a lot about you, I feel like. That is the weird thing about just LA. I mean, this actually goes back to last week's episode, which is that, like, you know, like the LAPD and LA Sheriff's Department are like very Latino, but also you know, uphold white supremacy the way cops do everywhere. That's just how it goes. We don't need to go down that road right now, I suppose.
I mean, shit. This is the pod for it.
I just don't. But it is like, what else do we say about it?
Yeah, I've vomited words about this shit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I will say I did walk by someone when I was getting my lunch today. A person with a Blue Lives Matter flag mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is happening here? I thought y'all hated the masks. I don't know.
Oh, the racist masks are everywhere.
Oh, Asan, you want to tell the mask that we saw in Vegas?
Sure. We were in Vegas and we were sitting out on like a patio at one of the hotels.
Safely.
Safely. People are walking in with their masks on. And there was a really interesting couple, like an older white couple. And they walked in and they had, or walked out onto the patio, and they, and the woman had her mask on and it said, this mask is as useless as Joe Biden. And, and she sat down and started to enjoy her meal. And we looked at that mask and said it was wild. And we kind of, you know, laughed to ourselves. And then then the next person who walks in, it looks exactly like Joe Biden.
I was like, oh shit, they about to get out.
We were like, oh shit, it's about to pop off out here at the Venetian.
He looked like Moneybag Joe.
It is like Joe Biden does have the most Las Vegas look there is. It's hard to place it.
This dude came in with like slick back white hair, like orange, like tan, like fake teeth. Like he had the veneers on. Like it was like, oh my god, that's Joe Biden.
It's
that's like Joe Biden really... followed her in off the strip and has a bone to pick with her.
Yeah. ma'am, what's that mask you got on there?
Here's the deal.
Let's talk about this malarkey.
Yeah.
Ma'am, what's that mask? Yo, is this Carl? No, it's Joe Biden.
It was Joe Biden
the whole
President
time.
Biden. I mean, okay, what would you say to our caller though about like putting up like a Black Lives Matter type thing in their living situation?
Do it. You have just as much right to do that as they have to put the Blue Lives Matter shit in their yard. Like, do it. I mean, but also if you want those problems, like, because they probably gonna be assholes about it, because those type of people are much more assholic than, like, one thing about us, on this side of the coin is we'll talk a bunch of shit online, but people don't be moving nothing.
They ain't trying to move nothing.
Those people will move something. They'll say get out there. They'll shoot the fade.
I unfortunately do know a bunch of people that will get out there. Not unfortunately. They're lovely people and they're like doing the right thing. But it is like sometimes I'm just like, man, you guys are really looking for a fight in a way that I am like personally not prepared for. Maybe that's it. I'm just like not prepared for it.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, the right and the MAGA people want to have their, like, they always want to talk about freedom. I'm like, yeah, like my thing is like, put up the flag if you want to, like put up your Black Lives Matter shit or whatever if you really want to, if that's what you want to do. But the moment you start getting into a reactionary sign battle with your neighbors, it's like you've allowed them to like dictate how you're going to live your life, you know? Yeah. So do what you want to do. You know what I mean? Fuck the neighbors.
Put up your Black Lives Matter blackout curtains.
Yeah.
just start drinking a lot. You know, because you're going to need that blackout. You're going to need, the sun is going to hurt your eyes. I think it's just like, and obviously, because in retrospect, this call was an obvious plant from the police. We disavow any incitement to vandalism. We, of course, love the police.
Who?
Wing.
Right.
No. I'm just Andrew, I just don't want to get us in trouble. I disavow this shit. Let's listen to one more voicemail. Let's see what's going on here.
Hello, second time caller, long time black. I was at work today, and this Hispanic, though she looked kind of ethnically ambiguous, said something, my nigga, talking a lot of Spanish and a lot of English. It was on a phone call. And again, I know she's Hispanic, but she also looks kind of ambiguous looking, and I wasn't sure if I should check her. Plus, her black friend was right there, like a few yards away from her. So I don't know what to do in this situation. It seemed like a kerfuffle. And again, I'm black, and she was Hispanic, and my friend was black. So what do we do? All right. Thanks for answering. If you check it, bye.
That's a good one.
I'm realizing the theme of this episode might be some of our audience might be too invested in reaching out into other people's business.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? This is a hard topic because I don't have the answer on this. And I don't feel like going to jail. I like making money too much. And so unless they like, if in order for me to slap somebody saying the N-word that ain't black, they have to say it to me that is in a way that is threatening to me. Like, if they say, my nigga, and one piece of spit, like, comes out of their mouth and, like, lands, like, on my top lip, like, right at this, right at the third quadrant of my mustache.
Very vivid.
That at that point, I will then proceed to knock them out.
So the disrespect doesn't even have to come from the tone with which they use the N-word. Like, it can just come from, like, some ancillary disrespect.
Well, here's the deal. You can't just hit people over words. That's mm-hmm. why they want to bait you into... Certain people want to bait you into stuff. Mm-hmm. They want to. Like, mm-hmm. when I was in Vegas, Asan, you were on the crap table, but I was standing in line to get drinks, and this old white dude was trying to get me to relate to him about how stupid masks were. And I'm just waiting on him to say some crazy shit. And this happens, you know, because we've talked about this on another show. I have an inviting face, so people want to talk to mm-hmm. me. But sometimes they want to say shit to be like, yeah, man, you agree with me, right? Like, this shit is stupid. Like, why this? And I'll just talk my shit back and say, like, I'm not going to get angry with you. I'm not going to get mad at you. You're not going to bring me down to a level that I need to mm-hmm. hit you or something, unless you have chosen to violate my personal space or me physically, and then I will be forced to defend myself. So stay out of that woman's business. She said, my nigga, like, stay out of her business. You can be mad at her, you can give her a dirty look, but we get in trouble, okay? I need black people to know that we get in trouble for stuff. So don't get in mm-hmm. trouble for anything. Live your life. And don't let nobody unless they do something to you. If somebody says mm-hmm. the N-word to me, and that's all they do, they just give me a drive-by N-word, man, let them continue on. I mean, I'm going to be a little bit upset for a while, but that's it. If they come up to me and they trip me and they say the N-word, then I got to whip that ass because I fear for my life.
Mm-hmm. And people who probably shouldn't be saying the N-word, when they do say the N-word, they almost always look very crazy. So, like, just let them look crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's the toll they want to pay, then let them pay it. And don't sacrifice your own well-being, you know, if it ain't causing you no harm, you know?
That probably feels like the pragmatic advice. That's what it sounds like. That is what the caller did. But where are you on, like, when it's ambiguous, when someone is, you know,
that she could have been black?
Yeah. I guess that feels like more what the caller maybe was getting at. That was what I heard at least. Like, what do you do when you really don't know?
This is interesting because I have an ambiguous friend who is, he's like a quarter African, but he has very like Latin sounding names and looks very Latin. But to me, he looks very ambiguous. Like, I always assumed that he was mixed race of some kind. And he says it on occasion, but only when he's around those of us who know that he's a part of black culture. Like, he doesn't use it around people who are not in black culture, and he doesn't use it around people who are in black culture who don't know him well like that. So I guess his use of the word is a little bit more pragmatic, in that approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's wild. I do think it's wild if you do seem kind of ambiguous, and you know, people aren't sure about how you identify ethnically or whatever. I would be concerned if you were just running around using the word very willy nilly, because it just doesn't seem like, because I'm there's no doubt that I'm black and I don't use the word willy nilly. So, like, if you're running around using the word like recklessly, it seems like you probably shouldn't be using it. You know, that's just my thought process.
I use the word willy nilly, silly, and Billy. And
a counterpoint. This is something. There's a cousin debate we're having.
But what I do say is I have gone to resolve to the idea this may be a losing battle, and I think where the battle comes from more naturally is we just have to demand more respect as a people. But see, here's the thing. We drive culture. We drive pop culture. Pop culture is black culture, especially right now. Mm-hmm. Where if you look at TikTok, ain't nothing like, it's all black. Racist people making racist raps. Like, it's like...
right. Even right-wing Twitter is, or TikTok is pulling from...
Yes.
It's the border wall for me.
Yeah. It's the border wall for me.
Oh, boy.
I think it's a losing battle for us. I think it's just more about, you know, the lack of respect that we get from people. And you know, it goes down. I think a person not of color saying the N-word, even in a in a way that is not meant to be harmful. Because, you know, that's what they'll argue every time. I wasn't saying it. Like, I mean, you just saw that battle rapper get punched. Did you see that video, Andrew?
No.
Yeah, it was in a battle rap, and this white dude was like, this dude wants to come at me because I say the N-word. My nigga, and before he got that out, boom, and he hit him. And then, but his boys.
It just feels like, I feel like he set himself up for that.
Yeah, he did. But he had security there, and his security, who happened to be black dudes, they defended him. They stood in like, whoa, hey, come on, man. Like his little posse. And it was just like, y'all lame for defending him and letting him get away with this shit. But his excuse was, the thing is, we get talked out of, I don't, but some black people get talked out of reacting to that negatively because they go, I'm saying it like y'all say it. I'm saying it as a term of endearment. I'm not calling you that. It's like, well, if you let that slip off your tongue like that, one day let you get mad at me. Let me take your girl and see what word you're going to call me. Mm-hmm. You know, like...
It's like, why do you feel like you... my question for those kind of people is like, why do you feel the need to say it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is it about it, the word itself, that makes you feel like you need to say it? Because I question those motives. Because the word is problematic. So why do you feel the need to use it when you're not even from the culture that, you know, has, I guess, ownership over it? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you feel the need to do it?
Well, they are of one culture that has significant ownership over it.
Right.
That's not the way they're going for it. I hope. Guys, mostly thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing the show. I will say again, you know, Tawny's back next week, so it will be more professional. But this was very fun to have you guys, and you should come back sometime when Tawny's around, actually speaking intelligently, because my brain was not good today.
Oh, it was perfect. It was a perfect brain.
Ugh, perfect hot pink brain. Tell people where they can find more of you, listen to the podcast, etc.
You can find me in St. Louis smoking them dubs. You can listen to the podcast on the Flagrant Ones Patreon. The Flagrant Ones Patreon. Get the whole bundle so you can hear the Flagrant Ones and Hollywood Handbook Pro version. And you can hear Carl Calls His Cousin. And you can hear, you know, Dial Tone. There's a Dial Tone podcast where you just listen to a Dial Tone. And it's hilarious. Let me tell you something, boy. You're talking about the yucks. Boy, it's some yucks going on in the Dial Tone podcast.
I mean, Dial Tone doesn't get enough respect from the community, I feel like.
No, it does not.
That's the thing.
It was originally called Carl Unfiltered, and I changed it to Dial Tone.
Carl Unfiltered.
It's just me sitting there. I take a big breath.
I love the musical theater, like, deep breath in between. And then we keep talking. Da, 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 da. Oh, I just hyperventilated. I'm like lightheaded from that dumb bit. That's where I'm at, personally. Asad, is there some place people can find you specifically? Everyone knows where to find Carl. Carl doesn't need to be found.
Yeah, no, Carl's been found. Don't find me. you can find me at Asan the DJ on social media. I have another podcast called The Weekly Regular where I talk about movies and comic books and that kind of stuff usually. But and then Carl Calls His Cousin on the Flagrant Ones Patreon. Check us out.
Hell yeah. What do we do now? Jesus, I can't handle basic
voicemail number stuff.
Voicemails 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. But most importantly, thanks to Carl and Asan for being here. Thanks for calling in, callers. We were not that kind to you this week, but it's, you know, that's the name of the game. I feel like sometimes they like the abuse.
I hope that didn't sound like abuse. Come on, man. It wasn't even abuse. My butt pillow is getting in the way. Let me take off this. I hope that wasn't abuse. That shouldn't have sounded like no damn abuse. That's me trying to protect you from abuse, because those people will abuse you.
Also true. We're protecting the listeners this week. And again, possibly protecting ourselves because that first one was a plant from the cops.
Thank you for being mad about stuff, lady in Texas.
All right. That's the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Peace. This is suboptimal.